This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9, 7:35 in the morning. I'm Chuang Joymesh, Philip Seaman, Wong Xiaoning. Now, who's on the griddle this morning?
Wong? Well, this morning, Lin Ma will be speaking to His Excellency Hiroshi Aka, who is the ambassador of Japan to Malaysia. Now, we do know the International Monetary Fund recently upgraded Japan's 2021 growth forecast from 2.3% to 3.3%, a signal that Japan's economy is in recovery. But at the same time, case numbers for COVID-19 are on an uptick amid a slow vaccine rollout. So, can the optimism hold? And of course, how has Malaysia-Japan bilateral relations been impacted by the pandemic? And another end, will the show go on for the Tokyo Olympics? We discuss these questions and more with His Excellency Hiroshi Aka, Ambassador of Japan to Malaysia, after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But before that, in order to replace older technology, new technology must provide significant benefits to users. So how is 5G going to transform video technology on these new devices? Find out today on Tech Talk, the Tech of Tomorrow, presented by OPPO. In Episode 3, we'll be hearing from Henry Tang, OPPO's Chief 5G Scientist, and Matt Armitage from Culture Pop, where we talk about 5G and video applications, happening this Friday, the 23rd of April at 11:30 a.m., of course, only on BFM 89.9, brought to you by OPPO, technology for mankind, kindness for the world.
From the world to football now. Of course, it's been a harrowing few days for fans around the world following the announcement of the European Super League featuring the most elite clubs around the continent.
Now, reports of such league forming have been circulating for years, but the recent announcement means the breakaway tournament may begin as early as next August. However, just overnight, there have been some major developments. All six of the English Premier League teams, which were initially involved, have officially backed out. This means it's not clear what will actually happen to the Super League now, although the other big European clubs still look to be going forward with it. So the lingering question is, what does this mean for the business of football going forward?
Well, before the news of the EPL team's withdrawal just hot off the press this morning, we actually spoke to Simon Chadwick, the professor of Eurasian sport at the Emily and Business School, for his thoughts on the rationale behind this move. Here's their conversation.
Now, Simon, it seems that the plans for Super League were widely rebuked by pundits and fans alike. So why were these super clubs doing it?
So these super clubs are in a position now where they have become so powerful that they have outgrown very often the cities where they play, the leagues in which they participate, and that includes the Champions League itself. And this has really come from these clubs being incredibly compelling commercial propositions. They have fans all over the world, but also at sponsors, at commercial partners, at broadcasters across the world. So they feel that the time is right now to begin to press home their advantage, I think. And to a certain extent, this has been fueled by American investment, which has flooded into the game over the last 12 months. And that really has been a tipping point for European football. But at the same time, what we also have is changes in digital technology, which is bringing forward new types of broadcasting opportunities, which potentially are very lucrative. We also have changes in consumer lifestyle. So I think football is no longer seen just as a sport. It is seen as being an entertainment product, as a lifestyle product. And the other thing you need to keep in mind is that yesterday, UEFA announced proposals for the reformatting of the Champions League. This is a really significant development because right now the big clubs are trying to press home their advantage within UEFA to receive a bigger financial settlement from the reformatted Champions League. And really, UEFA is in a very difficult position in this regard because UEFA generates a lot of money from the likes of Real Madrid and Manchester United, and it can't afford for these clubs to go away and start making their money elsewhere. But at the same time, UEFA doesn't just represent 12, 15, 20 top clubs in Europe. There are 55 member associations. And so UEFA is constantly trying to balance the interests of the two. And I think what we're seeing, therefore, is the big clubs re-exerting their power to get a bigger share of the financial settlement in this new Champions League proposal.
At the end of the day, how much money or more money is there going to be made from plans for the European Super League?
At the moment, it looks as though there is a current pot of money available somewhere in the region of about 3 billion pounds. But it's important to look towards what's happening in the United States. So we know, for example, that the National Football League, American Football, recently signed a deal with a broadcaster that will see revenues jump to somewhere in the region of about $11 billion. So we are talking about huge sums of money, not millions or even tens or hundreds of millions. We are now in tens and as the years go forward, presumably, maybe even hundreds of billions of dollars worth of business being associated with top-level sport.
Is this the Americanization of football then?
Some people have talked about the Americanization of sport. Some people have even talked about the Disneyfication of sport. The reality is sport is no longer sport. It is an entertainment product, a lifestyle product, a source of digital content. And so the sport is really going through profound changes at the moment, which means that it is ceasing to be, you know, kind of diehard fans supporting their local teams. It is a global product. So yes, it is Americanization in one sense, but it's more about, I think, the globalization and the commodification of football.
So how would the football landscape change should this Super League actually happen then?
So we already know over the last 30 years that we've had increasing polarization. So if you take any European league, Germany being a prime example, France being another, the same team or the same one or two teams typically dominate and win the championship. You then start to look at the Champions League and you look at who's won the Champions League over the last 10, 15, 20 years. It's very often the same, very small group of clubs. So that polarization already exists and is a consequence of this hyper-commercialization that we've seen since 1992. Moving forwards from here, if these big clubs either break away or alternatively successfully exert pressure on UEFA to award them a bigger financial allocation from the Champions League, is more polarization. So we're not about to enter a new age, a new dawn of a new egalitarian spirit across European football. We're going to see more polarization. And this really shouldn't be a surprise, because if we look at other industrial sectors, we look at banking, we look at the brewing industry, we look at financial services industry, you know, it's very, very similar. What you have is in whole industries being dominated by a relatively small number of transnational corporations that are very powerful and effectively what control what happens in certain industrial sectors. That's where we are with football, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Now, is there really going to be a case to be made for the establishment of this Super League? What could actually be the possible benefits?
For anybody who has bought a Premier League replica shirt, for anybody who has bought a book on Amazon, for anybody who watches Netflix box sets, we are all complicit in this situation. So the Super League is a reflection of some of those developments that I've just outlined. It's a reflection of commercial activity in football. It's a reflection of the changes in retailing and digital technology that we've seen. It's a reflection of the way in which we consume our broadcast content. Now, we don't watch TV anymore. What we do is on our mobile phones and our laptops, we watch Netflix box sets on demand. So all of these things have led us to the situation that we're now in. So as a result of that, what we could argue is that the Super League, all it is doing is just reflecting changes in the modern world. Essentially, all that football is doing right now is just following the trends that we've seen elsewhere in society and across human cultures. My view is in many ways, we shouldn't be surprised by what's happening, because it's happening everywhere else. It's happening in every other aspect of our life. And in many ways, football has actually been quite slow to follow the trends.
That was Professor Simon Chadwick, Professor of Eurasian Sport at the Emily and Business School. Now, I take a moment what the good professor said, but just because that is the situation in the world doesn't make it right. I mean, we've asked Malaysians the same thing, asking whether it's a betrayal, yes, no, and not really. And 61% say yes, and that's absolutely spot on.
Well, actually, we asked, I want to be specific, has the world of sports become too commercialized? And as usual, Chuang Ho said, we've had thousands and thousands
millions
of votes, of which 90% say yes, only 6% say not sure, while 3% say no. So at the end of the day, it looks like, yeah, I think many sports fans or non-sports fans all feel that, you know, the sports is all about the dollar, which is something the professor repeated.
It is that very fun line between entertainment and sports. And we've also had this conversation about arts and entertainment as well, you know, because people always say, okay, I'm doing it for the passion and all that. But this is where we're saying, okay, then how are you going to intermix it with the hard commercial calls that are required?
And football is billions of dollars kind of business, right? When we're talking about TV rights, merchandising, and guess what? Some football clubs are even listed. Manchester United is listed. Juventus is listed. It's all about money, sadly. Whether fans like to admit it or not, that's the reality of football.
Yeah, I think this news is interesting in the context of which clubs did not sign up rather than which ones did, because we know why the six British clubs didn't, isn't it? Yes. Well, no, the six British clubs did initially, and obviously so did Barcelona and Real Madrid. But the ones that did not sign up were, I think, very notably Paris Saint-Germain of France, right? And Bayern Munich from Germany.
Yes, the French and Germans that didn't participate.
So PSG is owned by the same people as Manchester City, which did sign up, right? The Qatari royal family.
Which then dropped out.
And they were the first to drop out, which then ended the whole thing in a domino effect. But then the other club which did not sign up was Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund, who were both invited as well, right? Which then tells you how each country is different from the other in terms of how they view the fans and how they view the sport. Because as Pep Guardiola said, if sport does not have winners and losers, then it's no longer a sport. Okay, 7:46 in the morning. We'll come back after this. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.